Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Storming through the party like my name was El Nino, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Real Madrid pulled it out the bag yet again, and Villarreal eliminated Bayern. It's Wednesday, 13th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushin Hantaraja.
Hi, everybody. Oh, have we calmed down from last night? My goodness.
Yeah, Portsmouth hammered them.
They beat Rotherham 3-0.
They did.
What about those Pompey boys?
Mate, Marcus Harness scored.
Which
is a great
goodness.
Night out for Spelsy.
Isn't it great that Portsmouth won?
It did.
Like, considering all the stuff they've been through.
Oh, dear. It's all self-inflicted, that, wasn't it? Mm. all their
No. They've investigated and they found that it was one man. Luke Aaron Moore.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Pompey Bellboy was
that's why he ran away to London.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me, gentlemen. What about that? I mean, my goodness, we have to start with Real Madrid 2, Chelsea 3. Real Madrid win 5-4 in aggregate, of course.
Who needs away goals?
What? Well,
It's like...
Chelsea
would have, yes.
Although
Chelsea
actually, it wouldn't have made any difference, would it?
Yeah, it
is a bit like...
Wouldn't have made a difference.
You know, someone saying, you know what, I need it to have a good time. I was like, trust me, you don't need it to have a good time. Just don't, you don't need it.
Yeah, you're just thinking about it from minute one, you're just thinking about where you're going to get the away goal from and you ruin the night. Oh, yeah. Dear.
Where have you gone? And no, I just went outside for a little walk. I was walking outside. And then you actually don't need it.
No.
And yeah, this, what a game.
What a match it was. Real Madrid. They are like the Germany of yesteryear. You never write them off in the Champions League in the same way you never used to be able to write the Germans off in the World Cup. They just, blimey, O'Reilly. Chelsea will be gutted this morning. And I'm sorry, Chelsea fans, you won't need me to remind you of that, but they really will be because they were superb, especially in normal time. I mean, going 3-0 up, slightly reminiscent of Juventus when they went there. And they were 3-0 down from the first leg. Went away, goals again. They raced into a 3-0 lead and then Ronaldo finished the tie. But my goodness, Vish, what about Chelsea? The way they started was okay, but then Mason Mount strokes
that
in that
bouncing
that lovely
ball,
first.
Just curling it around the keeper.
Yeah,
just
absolutely
got better
right.
From there, didn't
right,
it?
And that was the start we wanted.
Mm. Yeah, I think the reaction
well,
said it all.
The neutrals and Chelsea fans wanted that.
Yeah, yeah, obviously given the result in the first leg. I think the reaction said it all for me. Real Madrid players were like falling into each other's arms, falling to the floor in relief, really. And Chelsea looked utterly crestfallen. And I don't know if you saw, but Antonio Rudiger was furious.
Yes.
and I totally appreciate why he was furious because I think they botched that.
And his goal would have been forgotten now.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think they botched that purely because I think they played so well. They got into such a commanding position. That they're going to be so, and even from there, you know, Pulisic had a couple of chances where he could have equalised. Havertz, that header as well.
The header.
Probably should have a penalty as well.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But the, and I say all that, And I also think they couldn't do anything about that, the Rodrigo goal, because I can't remember a through ball as good as that in a long, long time.
More of a cross, really.
It was a cross and a through ball.
And it comes in from such height so quickly that I was thinking the defenders aren't even at fault.
Would you call it a crew ball?
Did you not think, so as soon as it was dipping, I thought, that's a goal. Because it's such a good ball that Rodrigo doesn't really have to do much.
Do you know what? I feel Rodrigo's part in this goal has been completely forgotten. It was a magnificent assist, but it was a great finish and great movement from him as well. Everyone's talking about the assist. And I understand.
Marcus here, right, yeah. He had a lot to do still, I think.
But I think maybe it's on the soul because...
The pressure as well. I volleyed it right into the corner. It's a glorious goal from the assist and from the finish.
But would you say the pressure was off because it was such a good ball?
I think that.
No, because of the tie, because he needs to score, because they haven't created anything really meaningful, not for a long time in the tie. Chelsea, to me, looked like they were going to score a fourth rather than Real Madrid. They looked very comfortable. They were getting forward still and kind of playing their own game. So that's why I think the finish, yes, Modric has taken everybody out with that pass, but he's got to get there. He's got the movement and the coolness.
I think the way I see it is Rodrigo held up his part of the deal in that, do you know, sometimes you see like a great move that because they don't score, it's just discarded to the ether.
And wouldn't that have been good?
Yeah, or it might
have been. So that's why the pressure was off to that extent.
Okay. But I think like the reason people are overlooking it is because, like, I mean, well done for scoring. Yeah. Thank you for preserving this moment. But this is the best bit of that moment.
Well, Rio Ferdinand, he got his cheapies, didn't he? He got his old cheap thrills and he called Modric's assist illegal.
Did he find some away goals?
He called it illegal.
Illegal.
Yeah. Would that be a waste of police time looking into that?
Look, Rio, you can't keep calling us when someone makes a good pass.
I like it.
It's not even the semis, Rio.
I love it. We're investigating parties now.
No, away at Atalanta isn't illegal.
All right, fine. We'll give Modric a fine.
This kit is illegal. Stop it, Rio. We're going to have your section, mate.
I like it when Ferdinand gets really excited about football. There's something just lovely about it. I remember when...
You say this a lot. The Brazil World Cup as well?
Yes, when he was in the Maracanã, he was absolutely loving it. Or there was a pass that Pogba played in the World Cup final he went, that was just naughty.
But I love that. But do you also hear Hoddle's done it 2 weeks on the bounce where he just... It's almost like it's really sweet because obviously he's getting on a bit, and it's almost like when you take your, you know, granddad or an older relative to something that they've always wanted to go to or that they used to do, and it's just as good as they remember it. Because he just every now and again he just stops and goes, "Oh, it's just a fabulous game, isn't it?" And it's like, we have a job. We do have a job to do.
You can't
just keep trying to say that. But it's very sweet.
It's nice to know that that there are some men of a certain age in this country who, you know, don't hark on about the past. All the time. Yeah. No, you can just enjoy the present.
Because I think even when it's like, "God, we were so lucky to be here."
Bit Rich Belzy doing some 41 at the top of the show.
That was in homage for you, brother.
Thank you, man.
That was very much you.
Appreciated.
But I would say though, some might say I'm a bit harsh there. N'Golo Kante, perhaps at slight fault for both goals. I understand.
Would it be fair to say that Modric had a lot to do?
Well, yeah, I understand that, but it was a slightly relaxed pass, bearing in mind the moment of the game. I understand that you don't want to just start launching it forward because then the dynamic can set in. Mm. And I don't think Chelsea should have approached it particularly differently because people say, maybe they should have just put everyone behind the ball. Well, you still had 15 minutes to go.
15 minutes, you're in the lead. You should be.
You're in the lead and you're in command.
You've got to keep going forward.
It took something of absolute quality from one of the finest midfielders of his generation to do something like that. The second goal, however, there was a mix-up between Kante and, was it Loftus-Cheek? I forget who it was on that right side. And I just thought Kante's like, go and claim the ball. And he just let it run and then and they were in.
What did you think of Loftus-Cheek's performance yesterday? Because he
played out of position, obviously.
He did, yeah. I thought he was better without the ball than with.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think
defensively he was pretty sound.
I'd go along with that. Something Ferdinand said about, you know, talking to defensively, you know, Reece James did a pretty good job on Vinicius Jr.
From being booked in the 10th minute.
Well, exactly. Now, I thought that booking, I understand why he did it, but I think it was Thiago Silva who was covering, who would have probably... The evergreen Thiago Silva, I don't even mention it, but there he is in a tie like that against Real Madrid. What is he, 38?
Yeah.
He still looks remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Maybe he's been on the Carabao. I don't know, but there's got to be a reason for it. but and then of course, when Junior has his chance, just dinks it in. And really, from Chelsea's point of view, I know Rudiger sort of slipped, but that goal, it would have been a bit soft.
I thought Mendy could have done a little bit better as well.
Perhaps. But I mean, I suppose in the context, you know, a sort of a close range header, maybe not. But I think from that goal to win it, considering what had happened before, I think that will be that make the pill even bitter.
Mm. Yeah.
To swallow, personally.
I very much enjoyed Alonso's lashed home. The goal that was for VAR. It's a real shame that he can draw that with his arm, because that was a lovely goal. It's very emphatic and enjoyable.
Hoddle said it. You know, he's hit it with his swinger or whatever, which is quite enjoyable. But old Benzema, he just goes on and on. Scored 12 goals in the Champions League this season. He's just one behind Lewandowski at the top of the chart.
Some of the stuff he's done's illegal. Yeah. See, that's real. Rio, sort yourself out. Some things in football are illegal.
Yeah, I'd argue that wasn't.
Oh, that is
football.
Illegal. That is illegal. Actually, yes, against actually. The law of the land. He will be investigated.
He'd be
this.
A great, what would he, a magistrate judge, wouldn't he, Rio Ferdinand?
That's illegal.
No,
you've got to have a bit more about you, the judge, and just go, that's illegal. Well, that's why we're here.
Well, no, you're trying to determine it, aren't you? Yeah. I've decided. No, you meant to say guilty, Rio. Yeah. That's the chat.
Illegal or not illegal?
Oh, dear.
The High Court are illegal.
Magistrate's the local one, isn't it?
Yes.
And Crown is the
I wouldn't know.
Pete knows. Mate, mine's dad is a magistrate's judge.
Still not been sent down yet, mate.
Not yet.
I'm free,
baby. Still
on
remand. He said the guy came into the court once who, it would appear, knew one of the judges.
Yeah.
But he didn't realise how it works. And he just looks, he walks in and he's like, all right, John. And he thought, yes, I'm going to get it. Oh, you mug. No, that's they have to change the judge. Oh, you idiot.
And somebody went, that's illegal.
All right, Rio. Oh, dear. Anyway, back to the football. What did you think of Courtois performing a very calm Cruyff turn in extra time? In the spirit of Edison, you know?
Yeah, and it's that lovely Cruyff turn that keepers... I don't care how good you are at football. Mm. Keepers just—they always look like they've just taken one step too far behind them, and they've got to stretch for it effectively. But it was beautifully done for a keeper.
Havertz was on a booking, I think. The way he dived it, I understand why. I thought to myself, "Well, you could have got him sent off there if you really wanted to be." A bit
imagine
fantastic.
That a goalkeeper not even thinking about. Oh, I could take a dive here.
I could get him sent off.
Yeah, I could invite a bit of contact and get him a second yellow.
Man. But yeah, I mean, Chelsea, when they were, as I say, 3-0 up, old Timo Werner as well, denied another winning goal. I know he scored against Chelsea last time around. But I mean, it could have been the winner. But then in extra time, Chelsea had chances to make it 5 each. There was a couple for Pulisic. I mean, slightly difficult to take, but chances nonetheless. Havertz with a free header. When he just sank to his knees, you just thought that was it. And then Jorginho has a chance, which he kind of snatches at, and that goes wide. Honestly, if you are a Chelsea fan, listen to this, I'm so but you will be pig sick that you're not through. And Tuchel himself, you know, what a match it was in that 90, the sort of to kind of mastermind that and so on. But he was angry, and some of the quotes he said after just testified to his rage. He said, I like Carlo Ancelotti. He's a very nice man. Mm. When we went to go and shake his hand, I saw the referee smiling and laughing with the opposition coach. This is a very bad time to do this. And I told him this.
That's obviously him, Tuchel, being over emotional. Because I thought the referee had a brilliant game.
I thought he was in charge. He looked... He's
a big bloke.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Tuchel also said, the only reason we didn't qualify is luck. We deserve to go to the semi-finals. And again, it is really a bit sour grapes, but I totally understand why.
And also, I was eating an airport Toblerone at the time. Just got distracted. Couldn't make the change.
How much chocolate is he going to have?
Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
I suppose fundamentally, and I know this is how two legs work, but Chelsea just weren't better than Real Madrid enough as Real Madrid were better than Chelsea in that first leg.
Well, they were, you see. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we can go on and say what they did at the
moment. They did brilliantly. I mean, like little things like Marcus Alonso drifting to the forward line, Rudiger, who I thought had a brilliant game, by the way.
He did.
I can't believe that his contract situation, and we've mentioned this before.
No, but you're right.
We don't really have the time to go into it now, but...
When he plays like that, he's imperious.
Yeah, he controlled the game from the back.
Oh, a phenomenal player. I know he has the odd laps here and there, but, you know, don't we all? But Carlo Ancelotti, the aforementioned, is now the first manager to reach the semi-finals of the Champions League in four straight decades. How about that? They could face Atletico or Manchester City in the semi-final. Peter, can Real Madrid... The answer is yes. Can Real Madrid win the Champions League?
Well, yeah, they can, but I mean...
Will they?
But every year you sort of go, well, he's 36, he's 35, he's 34.
Yeah, yeah.
How can they do it again? And they just seem to just keep on doing it. So, good God knows. God knows.
Yeah, but they have put some younger, fitter players, or, you know...
More productive.
Fresher players around those... older players.
Waiters, you mean? You mean waiters? Yeah.
That is exactly what I mean. Well, that's the kind of the spirit of... did you see Antonio Cassano this week when he said about Cristiano Ronaldo? He should pray in the morning and say, thank you, Benzema. Thank you for playing with me. because basically he obviously assisted him so much and did a lot of his running and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like...
A bit like Bruno Fernandes does at the moment for Man United.
But I mean, I suppose that's why we're having this little late renaissance with Benzema, is because now he is officially the main man.
Yeah, people are serving him.
I don't think it's an absurd thing. I don't think, you know, I know Michael Richards got a lot of shit for what he said, and it was kind of silly.
Remind us what he said.
You know, the stuff about he's finally Harry Kane's level.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, obviously that is, you know, a silly thing to say. And his mentions no doubt show that. But just having an opinion on football is bad these days. But I think what we're seeing now with Benzema is a result of, you know, playing a different role and having that refresh of that new role. Like he seems like he's playing, you know, he seems like he loves playing a bit more. I don't know, you could always say that of someone like him when he was playing with Ronaldo, where there was a bit more donkey work.
True.
And I think like...
Interesting that you go with Benzema. That's how you pronounce his name. Whereas Darren Fletcher on comms for BT Sports very much Benzema.
Benzema. Oh,
that's pretty good. I like that. Benzema. Who's got the keys to my bimmer? I quite like this Real Madrid side.
Yeah.
I know you're not allowed to like Real Madrid.
No, that's fine.
I don't know, but you don't root for Darth Vader, do you?
True enough. Yeah, but I mean, you know, there are some people who are from neighbouring countries to England have said they quite like this England side, and it's the same for them. You know,
that's
you know.
A good point, yeah.
So, you know, sometimes sides can be likeable.
True.
They can be likeable, but even if just for a short period.
I like the idea that it's just like all these older players, as Pete kind of pointed out, like going for one last, you know, one last grift.
One last, yeah, one last hurrah. Well, gentlemen, in the other side of the draw, it won't feature Bayern Munich, of course. They drew 1-1 with Villarreal. They lost 2-1 on aggregate. And my goodness, another fantastic night in Europe for that man, Unai Emery, Pete Donaldson.
It never ends. But not always in this competition.
Yeah. It just, after the game, Villarreal's English Twitter account said, welcome to the UEFA Farmers League. Because they were obviously, they were for some reason slagged off a bit for winning the Europa League.
I mean, why are farmers always getting dragged into this?
I think farmers
cheap
are hard
diesel,
done by.
Mate. Sick of them.
Yeah, creating
have
those.
Have to pay that amount of money on the pumps.
Creating those butter mountains. But yeah, Bayern Munich knocked out the quarterfinal for the second year in a row, which is surprising because if you think about European football at the moment, and obviously Liverpool and Manchester City were agreed that they are the best two sides in Europe, in the world, you could add to that. But we'll keep it in Europe just for now. The only other sides you think who could win the competition were Paris Saint-Germain. People weren't even that convinced by Real Madrid. Barcelona aren't in the damn thing.
No, especially after that first game against PSG, yeah.
Exactly. And Bayern would have been one of the favourites. Yeah. Villarreal, people wouldn't have fancied them at all, especially with a side featuring a lot of former players of Tottenham Hotspur and Francois Coquelin. Nice to see him in there. But you had Lo Celso, you had Foyth.
I think it was when they were going into added time at the end of the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
3 minutes ago, we know what Bayern are like. I switched over at the end of this game, at the end of the Real Madrid-Chelsea game, and I was basically switching over to watch them score.
Yes.
Because there's an inevitability about Bayern.
That's right, yeah.
And then I saw them bring on Villarreal to shore up, bring on Serge Aurier, and I thought, okay, right. So
there he is.
What are you doing? Why are you bringing this chaotic man into this environment? But they did brilliantly. I think the thing I like about this, you know, watching back the extended highlights, was how Villarreal weren't just holding on to this lead.
No,
you know, they had a couple of chances at the end of the first half.
Oh, they did, yeah.
And even Chukwueze's goal.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky.
Oh, he hit it into the ground.
Into the ground.
Yeah, well, do you know that? Do you not think he had like? if you're going to swing a boot at it and it goes in, I know it booted it in the ground, but do you not think he was kind of, he must have been going for the top right anyway? No?
I think
it had a lot to
do.
Open his body up. I thought it was a lovely finish.
You talk about pressure. I think it comes to him and he's thinking to himself, I have the chance to register one of the greatest results in this club's history. You could argue, I know they have won the Europa League. And they have been in a semi-final of a Champions League before, against Arsenal, of course. But
well, he had a lot of thinking time for the counter-attack for all that.
Yeah, I just
staying on side, staying on side, staying on side. I'm in the box. Ah!
Yeah, just hit it on target. Oh, that was a bit lucky.
Yeah, yeah, because as soon as it leaves his foot, aren't he's got you? To think on off the feel of the contact. Be like, oh, for
can I say it right? I think it was the three of us when it was definitely you and Ivish when Everton. Played Newcastle, was it, when Iwobi scored that injury time goal? And we said his celebration was a bit crap in the context. I felt that with Chukwueze. You've just scored for Vieira. And he did that celebration where he points to the back of his shirt as if to say, oh, this is my name, get
I'm
a load
Chukwueze.
Of me. Yeah, exactly.
I'm 22-year-old Samuel Chukwueze.
And it's like, that's not really the vibe at Vieira, is it? You know, that's...
Well, do you think he should have, like...
Just gone a bit more mad.
But I think the... In those situations, when you're away from home and you score like that, I think the onus is on all the bench to run down the
touchline. The bench did their part, I think.
Yeah, so I think that's fine.
Okay, okay.
Because if he jumps in the crowd, imagine if the whole squad jumped in the crowd.
True. Mind you, though, maybe he did think he was offside and he thought, well, I'll get the mention. There's the branding. Exactly, yeah. And we'll see how we go. But yes, after full-time, apparently the DJ at the Allianz Arena played Bittersweet Symphony. The show must go on.
Fucking worse.
I know, imagine that.
It's a good song.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's awful.
It's not awful. It's
absolutely drab.
Oh, shut up. The show must go on.
Better.
Which is, but that's not for Bayern. I mean, is he sort of trying to bring the focus back to the Bundesliga?
Probably, yeah.
And I think he played I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
But they are. They're going to miss the semi-final.
Or are they? Yeah.
No, they are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are. Yeah. Either way, new DJ, please, at Allianz Arena.
new DJ, please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Will there be a new manager at some point soon? I mean, Julian Nagelsmann under a bit of pressure. Apparently, he said after the game, because Thomas Müller missed a great chance to make it 2-0 for Bayern, of course. He just said, Thomas has to score that. But old Nag said that the tie was really lost in the first leg. And he said, he did say in the second leg, we did very well, tactically well. You know, I did my bit.
yeah, that's
Tommy,
what that means.
Tommy
yeah.
Müller should have scored that one. Yeah. But he, but he also sort of hinted, because Danny Parejo said after the game, Nagelsmann said he wanted to decide the tie in the first leg. I think he disrespected Villarreal and football. That's it. Bring us all together. Mm. You disrespect one of us. You disrespect a lot. And it was funny because Gerard Moreno, I think in response to that, did say, oh, we were a bit disappointed that we didn't finish it off in the first leg.
Brilliant.
Which is quite funny. Because Lars on yesterday's pod said that Villarreal, you know, they did have a chance in the first leg to get a bigger lead because Bayern were quite poor. And he felt, understandably so, that they'd maybe missed their chance. But they thought, no, we'll make sure there's a bit of a drama.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was definitely, after the scare that Bayern Munich got in the previous round with Salzburg, you know, when they drew that first game, and they, you know, they drew it right at the death there.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
There was a sense that, like, yeah, shit, actually, yeah, that you're going to get utterly pumped in the second leg, and they did.
Yeah.
You know. But I kind of went into this, you know, I listened to yesterday's show, I was of the same mind of Lars, where I just thought, you know, it's Bayern Munich.
Well, that's right.
You can't really touch them with any of these intangibles, can you?
Yeah. And then when Lewandowski scores, after they'd not managed to get the breakthrough, they'd missed a couple of chances, he scores fairly early on in the second half, you think, well, there we go.
Yeah.
As you say, you turned over thinking, I'm going to see a Bayern winner here.
Yeah. And
what you got was quite different.
No, and all the better for it. It was a lovely little camera angle of the players running out when you don't actually see the final whistle.
That's right, that's right. And of course, they'll play the winner of Liverpool versus Benfica.
I mean, Liverpool have... done brilliantly there, haven't they? In terms of getting on that side of the draw,
they have. And I mean,
you've got a big team, and they obviously are a team that can beat big teams. But in terms of like a lead up, given also what they have to do in the league, I think this is, they've got to take advantage of this on both fronts.
Yeah. Well, let's see them beat Benfica first, and then if they do that, which we all assume they will, we assume Bayern would win as well. Then they will face off against Unai. An eye of the tiger. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Awful.
Illegal.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for Pep Talk.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me.
I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Please! Drink water and relax!
Pep Talk from Carl. Hello, Carl. I'm in a rather peculiar situation.
we give him the pep talk.
What?
It's not a pep talk from Carl.
Yeah,
is it?
Of course, yeah. I was going to say, if it was a pep talk, it's very self-centered.
We don't read those emails now. Yeah. It was a suggestion for
I'm in a rather peculiar situation. This is Carl speaking, not me. Right. I'm in a rather peculiar situation where I've managed to wrangle myself a coaching trial at a major European side with, and I swear to God, this is 100%, absolutely 100% true, with zero coaching experience.
Oh.
Frank?
Wow. He might be better than Frank.
My problem is the fact that I have this major trial, which has a potential to be life-changing, and I have about as much coaching experience as Timo Werner has finishing ability.
Oh, that's aged badly.
What can I do, and who should I take inspiration from to turn into a coaching maestro in a mere week?
Well,
maybe this sounds like bullshit.
It does, yeah.
And if it's not, I want him to wear a wire. Click record. I want to hear what's going on in there.
Well, maybe
trying to figure out which club it is.
If it is true, then we want a pep talk from Carl. I think how to wrangle your way to getting a trial at a major European side.
Mm.
What would be the best way to feign? I suppose
bring your own cones. I don't know.
Bring your own cones.
God, I know what these are.
Personalised cones.
Yeah,
but monogrammed cones.
But back in the day, if you found a traffic cone, it was great because that's a goalpost. Whereas,
right.
Of course, imagine if he set up the cones like they were goalposts. Right. Last goal, the winner. Hang on, this trial's not very good, is it? You
I mean, like
run
the
around
little,
the cone,
but the little cone, you know, the little cone.
Yeah,
the little thing.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying any kind of cone.
Right.
I would fear that. So rule number one: the cones are not for goalposts, pal.
Ooh, okay. And also, like, if you come in with, you know, those mannequins that act as like free kick walls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just bring like a couple of them with you.
Don't dress them.
And
because, he's brought us on coaching staff.
Yeah. or also be like, oh, I've been in coaching so long that. I've made friends with them and I brought them along for moral support. But they just wait in the reception area.
Yeah.
Just standing there. You don't need a seat.
Kind of leaning on the chairs because they can't bend, they can't pivot their bodies.
They've all got names as well.
Yeah. You would just have to, you just have to read like a tactics book. You know, Michael Cox is one of Michael Cox's things, Jonathan Wilson's things. Or would you have to do something like, you know, Tifo football stuff? They're quite good. Would you have to like watch something like that and then like relay it?
Yeah, you would. I think that's what exactly.
That'd be the easiest way, wouldn't it?
Any particular
that Tony
coaches?
Adams, that Tony Adams video?
Less that.
When he's doing that, yeah, when he's pushing.
That. Oh, yeah,
he's like a sumo wrestling three different people. Yeah.
Fizzer?
Yeah. What?
What exactly would you copy him?
Is Everton pool table? I don't know.
I've got an Everton pool table. Learn a couple of words.
Bien, good. I like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
you could do the Gary Neville. Didn't he want a fireman's lift so he could like watch them training?
Fireman's lift? Sorry, I went straight to wrestling there. Fireman's carry.
Yeah, it's a bit pervy, but fine. You don't need to put it in your contract, Gary. No, he wanted a fireman's lift to take him up so he could watch the training. Ground. So hire one of them. You will look massive time.
If you went,
what's that thing
like a cherry
for
picker,
me?
Yeah, right,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, who's that? Oh, that's a new coach. He's coming from above.
A saviour.
Whatever we are, Carl, I think we've given you enough.
I think we've solved that one, Carl.
And if not, do a bit of. I think Roy Hodgson who used to tie rope around the two defensive midfielders. He would always want them to stick close to each other in training. So everywhere, so do that. Tie a couple of them up.
And then one of them fell over a cliff and they're like, oh, you've got to cut the cord now. And then they met up at the end.
This is a nightmare.
Yeah. So take a cherry picker, bit of rope, tie a couple of players up.
Yeah.
And what was your suggestion, Vish? And the wall. Bring a load of mannequins.
Bring some mannequins to your mates.
And dress them up in the kit. There
Give
we are.
Give them names and faces.
Kiss them.
Good luck to you. Imagine if we see Carl, a suspiciously looking English coach Carl on the bench of like some sort of like AC Milan or something.
Looking around going, I don't know.
It'd be like Leipzig, wouldn't it? It'd be like one of those dynasty things.
Exactly. Yeah.
But definitely wear a wire as a piece of
absolutely,
I want a recording. And after you fuck it all up, let us know which club it was. from Vaughan, you got a message from Vaughan, Australian fan of the short and Spurs fan here, in desperate need of a pep talk. My best friend, Liverpool fan, has been working overseas for the last 2.5 years. And has just got a job in Birmingham. I haven't seen him since he left Australia.
Oh, no.
He's going to be based in the UK from the 1st of May, so there's a great opportunity to visit him and share our passion for the Premier League. So the dilemma is, my wife is heavily pregnant with our second child, due in June, which is confusing word to say. My son turns 2 at the end of May. Being apart from them will be difficult, not to mention the guilt in leaving her to manage everything on her own. On multiple occasions, she has said, if it's really important to you, we will make it work, which is lovely, but it's also clearly a trap. Yes, it's a trap. It's clearly a trap. Being from Australia, anything less than a 2-week trip isn't worth the expense and travel time. And there's only one 2-week window that gets me home in time for both of my children's birthdays between the 7th and 21st of May. In that time, Spurs play Liverpool away and Arsenal at home, so my best mate and I can watch our teams go head to head, followed by a Northland derby to decide 4th place. My friends need me, my football team needs me, my family needs me. Should I stay or should I
that
go?
Is tricky.
I think you go. He's found the window.
Yeah,
he's found the 2-week window. He'll get back in time.
Not necessarily.
Why not necessarily?
Because isn't a second child more likely to be born slightly earlier?
Oh, I see.
Very much in the safety zone. Yeah, yeah. I think
in the safety zone.
Well, no, because obviously a premature birth is like can be quite a serious thing. So,
oh, I see. Yeah, sorry,
because only something like 4 or 5% of babies are actually born on their due date.
Right,
because it's obviously
it's such liabilities, aren't they?
Oh, they are. So it's a bit. Grow up. It is a guess.
Be professional.
I say it's a Marcus harness. It's not a guess, by the way. That really does the medical industry. They don't.
It's on the weather. They don't fucking know, do they? Have a fucking clue.
Give or take a month or two, that kind of thing.
Okay, so that's fair enough. So you're okay. So right. So that would be a big risk then.
I mean,
because I thought we found
it. The reality is though, with these things, life only gets busier. So it really is now or never.
So you're the person. You're the only person who can talk with authority on this. I mean, we can take the piss for a little bit.
Yeah. I think you should.
Yeah.
I think it is the football ramble after all.
You can always get new kids, can't you?
You can.
Always get new kids. You can always
get new kids.
Start a new life in Birmingham.
I wonder.
People used to do that back in the day,
they
didn't they? Come back from war and be like, oh, I'm your husband now.
My grand's husband just ran off.
I'm your
husband. Really?
Policeman just ran off.
Oh, right.
You'd think that's illegal.
He'd know, wouldn't he?
He'd know.
I think I'd be tempted to do it.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. I think you're
for the gyps.
Open-ended return, though, just in case.
Okay, is your second thoughts about coming back?
Yeah.
No, you need to come back early.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a good way of doing it, I think. Yeah.
Hang on a minute, though. So he said Spurs play. I think the 2-week window, I think you're going to maybe, if you really wanted to be particularly pragmatic and what I think maybe you could cut that down to 10 days. And I understand his point about if it's any less than 2 weeks, it's a hell of a long way, bit of a, you know, jet lag and all that kind of stuff. And it's an awful lot of money. However, this is a once in a lifetime kind of stuff.
And those are big games as well.
They are big games. So I reckon just take the hit, cut it down to 10 days. And I think that shows your wife that you are
compromising.
That is a little bit of consideration there. So I think do a 10 day trip.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we've done that quite well.
Don't
leave your family. I was joking about that.
Yeah, because Vish will turn up and go, "I'm your husband now." I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to Australia to pick up someone else's family.
You can do the accent though. You could convince everybody you're a local.
I could as well. I could call up over the phone, couldn't I? G'day, champion. Where's the second one?
The second one.
I hear you're in need of a child. Of a father.
What do you mean a celibate Kiwi? That's not me.
Oh, dear. Well, there we are, everybody. I think we've done that rather professionally. If you've got any questions for us, send them in. We'll get to them every Wednesday. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. So there, we talked about the second one there. Let's talk about the 10th one now. It's Erik ten Hag. apparently, he's on the brink of being confirmed as Manchester United manager. They've reached an agreement in principle. But as anybody who's bought property before, they gazumping can happen in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Or in the Bundesliga. Because they were concerned, weren't they, that was it RB Leipzig who might come and take him away?
There's rumours that there's this massively underqualified coach that's coming in for an interview that missed come for this. Disappointment, unfortunately.
And apparently he's got a load of metal mates with him. He looks like bad news.
Metal wire.
Let's
wire
be honest, right? Like, it could be Manchester United in the current climate, couldn't it?
Manchester United basically focused all their attention one transfer window on signing Ander Herrera and then chatted to people pretending to be his agent.
Yes, I do.
This is absolutely plausible.
Totally, yeah. And Carl Smith is the new manager of Man United.
It's just another written off season for Man United, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Even next
season. Same time next year. It's going to take a while to implement all of his plans.
Get a load of
same
that.
Time last year.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's absolutely spot on.
Being taunted by a fan of the richest club in the world now. Pete's thinking, hang on, we didn't manage it in the 90s.
You don't even need maximum.
But now you've got Man United in your sights, haven't you? That's what it is. I love this, that Gary Neville, in his piece recently, he said he was concerned that Ten Hag might phone his former player, Donny van der Beek, and ask what it's like at the club. He was like, well, what if he phones Donny van der Beek? He's going to tell him what's actually happening.
He might switch on TV and watch him play football.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone to heaven. I wouldn't trust his judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of the frying pan and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when I was there, it wasn't going so well. But now I'm at Everton, it could have improved.
Donny, do you think you're the problem here? No?
Just doing a tour of all the batshit clubs in the Premier League.
Oh, dearie me. Well, from a Manchester United perspective, if we can, for a moment, it does look like they're one of the three front runners to sign Darwin Nunez in the summer alongside Chelsea and PSG. Yeah, so
I mean, it's just the names of those two.
He'll either go to Chelsea or PSG.
Yeah, the only thing that United have in their favour over those two is the fact that, I mean, not so much with PSG because they don't really operate like this, but presumably Chelsea need to offload someone.
Well, and they also need to get a new owner, don't they?
Oh, there's that as well.
Cheer up, Chelsea fans. I think by the end of the week, they should be clearer on that.
Yes, yeah.
Whether it's the Boston Celtics guy or the idiots from Chicago or the Candyman.
I can't
remember who was on the show.
There'll be an interview with one of them tomorrow telling us how they really support Chelsea and they're not racist, so it's fine. So we'll get to that when we come to it. We'll talk about it in tomorrow's show. But he'd be a brilliant signing. I just don't believe anything anymore.
No.
But,
all right, Matt Letizia. Yeah. Deary me. Oh, dear. Good news, though. Former Manchester United manager Louis van Gaal said that his prostate cancer treatment has been successful. So
it's just lovely news.
That's good to hear. He will step down after the Qatar World Cup, and he's going to be replaced by Ronald Koeman again.
Is there a generational gap in Dutch football where it's the same old people passing it around?
Well, I think with Koeman was a decent coach for the Netherlands.
Sure. And they're going to go back to him.
Well, because I think he left, some people say it's a bit prematurely when he was given the Barcelona job. So you can understand why he left, but people didn't want to see him go because he was doing a good job. So they're happy to have him back.
Yeah. But you know, and then he'll get rid of it, and then Gussie Dink will come back and take it.
Yeah, well, if, you know, if the cat fits. The Dutch cat
Advocat
fits.
Advocat coming back. Right. Bring Advocat back. Ronald, Frank de Boer ruined it, didn't he?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did. He tends to.
Poor bastard.
Poor old Frank the Farmer. Right, everybody. Tonight, we've got more Champions League. It's Atletico Madrid against Manchester City and Liverpool versus Benfica, of course. Huge
it's
game.
It's another night.
It is another
European
night.
European action.
We would be more confident of Liverpool going through, Peter, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would. Yes. Because of the scoreline.
Because of the scoreline.
They've scored more goals. They've got a bigger cushion.
They've got a bigger cushion.
Let me consult my abacus.
And they're not playing against Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Better cushion, worse team, you'd say.
Well, Diego Simeone, I love this. He's responded to the criticism of his defensive tactics in the first leg. And I have to agree with Simeone here. The criticism they get, I just find baffling. Mm. It's a perfectly legit. It is not illegal to play football like that. Well, I mean, some of the things.
Some of it is.
Yeah, but they get punished for it. They take punishment. That's true. But he said to his critics, he said, "I've been coaching since 2005 and I've never been critical of a colleague. Never. It's like my father used to say, the mouth kills the fish."
What?
You have to show respect. Always, always, always. The fish business comes from fishing wisdom, which says if a fish keeps its mouth shut, it does not get caught on the angler's hook.
Oh, I thought you meant the mouth of the river. That's really good. I like that.
The mouth kills the fish.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
I thought it was eating just because we eat fish.
It does sound a bit mad. Yeah, exactly. No, surely the fish are killed. You've got it all wrong, Diego.
Yeah.
That's not how you should. Yes. So an interesting game. Parts of the Wanda Metropolitana will be closed after some Atleti fans were caught on camera appearing to perform Nazi salutes in the stands during the first leg, which is utterly depressing, obviously. So at least action has been taken, but bloody hellfire. But with regards to the match, I mean, Simeone said, well, we know how Manchester City are going to play, and you know how we're going to play, so up yours.
Well, I mean, again, like I'm enjoying watching Atletico in the Champions League this year without the away goals, because they're just like, well, we can't shut up shop away and just really frustrate and grind out a 1-0 at home. So they're going to have to come out and do something here.
Well, I mean, they have done that away from home, shut up shop and just ground out results, though.
Yeah, but
not
as
in the second leg, they'll have to come out and play.
Yeah, they'll have to come out and play now, won't they?
Yes, well, they will do, because they need to win.
Well,
they showed. Well, actually, they play quite. I mean, Manchester United were terrible, but in that first leg, when Atletico were at home, they were relentless at the start of that. And I imagine that's exactly how they're going to play out.
Yeah, but
the only difference is that City will be able to pick through them as soon as they do that.
Yeah, hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
some would say, yeah.
Man United were there for the taking.
Yeah.
And to be fair, on
they should have finished that game in the first leg.
Yeah.
And in the end, they finished it in the second leg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and it could have gone either way, but they went through. I mean, yeah, a very, very different game, of course, because of the opposition. And it will be fascinating to see, as you say, Peter, because they do have to come out and play.
Is it too early for overthink?
Yeah, I'd say so.
They've got a lead, you know.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I just think the same again, really.
Mm. Yeah,
it's when they face against if they get through, which we suspect they will. If they play Real Madrid, the second leg of Real Madrid, maybe. But mind you, it's more of a one-off game with Pep, isn't it?
Well, I suppose you know what you said then. What Pete was talking about in terms of, you know, their style of football, it kind of it helps you set out how you're going to play, doesn't it?
Mm.
Because they're so set in their ways, and. You know, even Simeone coming out and saying that is only going to embolden him to play more like the Atletico of old.
Yeah.
I remember Andy saying actually after that first leg that Manchester United played that Manchester United drew out this kind of this throwback Atletico which hadn't been present for most of the season.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah,
they've been conceding goals in the league.
Yeah. I think it'd be really interesting. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating game.
But clearly he knows how to... They're programmed a certain way. He knows how to do it.
Yeah.
As you said, they're not as good as they were defensively back in the day, but he is a coach who certainly knows how to... He hasn't lost his touch in that regard, but they have to win the game.
And they are
They can't even draw the game. They have to win the game.
Yeah, and they're more efficient going forward now.
Yes.
Well, certainly they have been in the last few weeks.
Well, they've got the players for it, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
they've always had the players for it. They've always
they need
had
to
great...
indulge them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. So it's an intriguing one, and I'm sure most neutrals will probably be watching that one. But who knows? Who knows? Staying in Spain, gentlemen, if we may, and we'll finish on this. There's been controversy in the regional first division in España after an assistant manager was sent off for stepping onto the pitch to stop a counter-attack from the opposing team. Now, let's be honest, if Atletico are 2-0 up in the final minute, and I'll just leave that there. But in the 89th minute, the score was 1-1. A player for Villanueva del Pardilla, played a promising ball up the wing for one of the forwards. The assistant manager just stepped on the tackle and just tackled him.
He didn't like. He didn't even kind of like. He didn't blast it. He didn't kick it. He wasn't angry.
It was
very
calm. He
just put a foot out. Yeah. Just intercepted.
Wasn't endangering the player. No.
He intercepted it in the way that, like, if I get this cleanly, I can just lay it off to my midfielder.
Imagine Gareth Southgate stepping in. Oh dear.
I mean, like, Simeone would.
Yeah, I
would.
Yeah,
like
I think it's Simeone.
And then,
yeah,
and then Pep would run on.
Yeah,
and try and tackle him.
So, if should there be a rule if a manager does that, but then the other manager gets involved and wins the ball back, then you get the advantage and play just carries on and there's no punishment?
But can you then be tackled by the players?
Maybe. Yeah, you're in. If you enter the you can do it once a game. I love it, though, how the
go on, Roy, show us your left foot now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it would influence who you picked as manager, wouldn't it?
We've got Frank Lampard, it's fine.
Exactly, yeah. Roy Keane's making a return to manager. I don't know if it was the player or a representative, the manager or the representative of the club say, oh, you know, he's very sorry about that, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, what is this in this country, the age of, I'll just do what I want and then I'll apologise unreservedly after. It's like, that's not... Our apologies getting more insincere.
Well, you know, easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's true.
Can I, as a manager, run on and affect the game as it happens on the pitch? No, you can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's against the rules.
Yeah. Sorry, I should have said that it was an official statement which said our assistant made a mistake and expressed his total regret immediately over what had occurred. He wasn't regretful at all. He wasn't gutted, thinking, "Oh, what have I done? Oh, I've got to go away and think about all my life choices and all this kind of stuff." No, he was very happy with what he did.
He's going to be doing a lot of courses. He'll be, you know, he just needs to learn a bit more. There'll be a lot of education.
Exactly.
You know, we've got this new coach, Carl, who'll be able to talk him through what he can and can't do on a football pitch.
You're going to offer to give the point back. You know what I mean? Like, no, you're not regretting it. You knew exactly what you were doing. It's very much Luis Suarez in the 2010 World Cup. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. An absolute pleasure. We look forward to the games tonight, as I'm sure you are as well. Until then, thank you very much, Vitushan Hantaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter Donaldson.
Farewell.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
and on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.